Welcome to Worst Year Ever, a production of iHeartRadio.
Welcome to the worst year ever. We'll get through it together or not. Everything is so dumb, 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 dumb.
Hello. Hi.
Hi.
Welcome back to Worst Year Ever.
Hello?
Hi.
Hello?
Is this thing on?
Sorry.
Huh?
Eh? We are acting out the part of your elderly relatives at Thanksgiving because you're hopefully not seeing them.
It's on
this
Zoom.
Year.
You're Zooming.
Yeah.
Yes.
And everybody's fumbling with their backgrounds and all that. It's going to be a very joyful time.
You know what I think is joyful?
What?
Watching people make the exact same mistakes that led us to Trump, but in a time that is vastly worse for everyone in America because
absolutely.
Of a plague and a slow motion economic collapse.
Yep.
I look forward to that.
Gets me. What is the academic term? Super hard.
Wet. Oh, hard is fine.
Yeah. Sorry. Yeah.
It's okay.
Yeah.
Yeah,
in
we're
academic
all very excited.
Terms.
Yeah. We love winning, don't we?
We love winning. I love a good turgid win. You know,
I like
that's the show.
Too. And that's we did
of,
it.
Speaking of turgid, you know who's always turgid?
What? Who?
Our loyal audience.
Our loyal audience.
All of our listeners. Turgid as fuck.
So
that's what we always say.
That's you, folks. Yep. That's what we always say.
So the week of this recording and presumably of this listening, it is Thanksgiving. We decided to do a Q&A episode this week.
Which
to
means
show...
we are starting a new QAnon conspiracy theory every single day, right?
That's right. That's right. Not. That's
Let me
not...
tell you about Seth Rich. Oh, sorry.
That's not how I interpreted it, but we could take it in that direction, I suppose. But we do have all these questions from our listeners, to whom we are quite grateful. So we could just do that also.
So you think that's a more responsible use of our time than radicalizing our listeners to assault a pizza restaurant?
I mean, at this point, who even knows anymore? But I would say it's certainly easier, and I'm all about effortless.
Well, I would say fuck them up, folks.
See,
fuck
there
them
you
up.
Go.
Let's see if we can.
There's valid points on both sides.
Well, let's see if we can extrapolate some conspiracy theories from these questions, shall we?
Okay. That will be my entire job today.
Do you want to do us the honors of reading these questions?
Not really, but I will.
Well, you don't have to.
You don't have to.
Side note, do you guys want me to say their handles or just ask the questions?
Handles.
Say their handles. They'll love that.
Yeah.
Everybody loves a good handle.
Mm-hmm.
A handle job. Sorry.
Handle bar.
In no particular order, rhyme or reason, these are some of the questions from your very, very kind fans.
Beautiful.
Let's start with a fun one. Somebody asked Cody, did you have a funeral for your beard?
Oh, my poor beard. No, because it was resurrected like 4 days later.
His beard is
currently on my face. Yeah. I was not worried. I never mourn the beard because it comes back very, very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Fascinating.
But thank you for showing so much respect to it.
I mourned Cody's beard.
At Andy, I think that's an L, 222, wants to know, what is each of your visions for the worst case scenario for the end of this year, 2020?
I'll start. If everybody doesn't stay away from their families for Thanksgiving and mid-December, all of our hospitals are overrun with bodies, because we're already seeing that happen, I think that would be at least part of the worst case scenario for 2020, the finale, in my mind. And it's entirely possible, perhaps even plausible.
That the real war on Christmas is people seeing their families on Thanksgiving?
Yeah. I am.
Okay. Yeah.
This is not a conspiracy theory.
Prior to the election, I would have said the worst case scenario is a massive surge in plague cases that lead to a widespread collapse of statewide healthcare systems and potentially even a collapse of national healthcare infrastructure, alongside an authoritarian crackdown as Trump consolidates power and his supporters take to the streets to do violence to their political enemies. And now that that Trump has lost and that his supporters so far have not massively escalated political violence on a nationwide level, I'd say we're dealing with the best case scenario, which is just a partial or complete collapse of the healthcare system due to tremendously escalating plague cases, along with around 6 million Americans losing their homes and being turned out on the streets. So yeah, we're doing gravy.
It's good. It's good. It's good. It's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, that plus any of the things that you know that Trump will want to do while he's in those last like month, you know,
mm-hmm.
Any of the sneaky stuff, or like I don't know, a bunch of like it's fine, folks. It's fine.
Air travel is only down 13% for this holiday.
Jesus Christ, people.
13%.
Wait, what's down? What's down 13%?
Only 13% is what air travel's down.
That's it.
That seems like not enough.
If you want to be real sad, go to Flight Radar 24 and just look at all the planes over North America.
Yeah. I saw that. That's the thing. Yeah. It's just gonna be a dark and cold.
You mean death
and
squads?
Also pour one out for ADSB Exchange. R.I.P. That's a open source nerd joke. Sorry.
Let's get another question. I could use a new topic.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not going to be happier, but at leftist veteran wants to know, Robert, this is for you.
Yeah.
Let's say Trump refuses.
I love me.
I know you do. Let's say Trump refuses to surrender the office. Who then physically removes him? And if it is a lackey that has been appointed as head of that office, will that lackey be loyal to Trump or to Biden?
I mean, I'd think it would be, like, in terms of what group would physically remove him
right,
were he to
right.
refuse to leave office, I would guess the Secret Service. Because that the White House and its security is their job, and past the 21st, he would technically be, like, not technically, he would be an intruder, right?
Yeah, trespassing. Like
a trespasser, yeah. So yeah, I would imagine it would be their job. And since, let me Google something real quick, leftist veteran.
I hope they live stream it.
Yeah.
Are you
I
Googling,
hope they do too.
Can I drag the
so
president out?
So, as of November 13, more than 130 Secret Service officers have been infected with COVID-19.
Wow.
Yep. Which is roughly 10% of the service, largely as a result of the president's campaign rallies. So, I don't, like, of the things I'm concerned about, the Secret Service not being willing to extricate him from the White House is not one of them. I honestly don't think that's very likely. It does seem like he's just given the approval for the transition. Like what I, you know,
he's
where
pathetic,
I'm leaning
little
right
coward.
Now
he's
is that he's play acting a coup. And mm-hmm. I think it and play and I and when I mean play acting, I don't mean that there was no risks, because the kind of guy Trump is, if there was not enough resistance, he would have gone through with it.
Oh, for
but
sure.
But there has been resistance. Not enough. And in fact, there has been little enough, like the amount of resistance has been light enough that I think we have a significant worries in the future of this happening with someone who's, you know, capable of inspiring loyalty in a single human being, which Trump really is not, because a lot of folks were down with the coup. But there was enough resistance that I he's not committing to it in the way that he would need to be committing to it. Yeah. And I think is just preparing to profit for years off of a lost cause narrative.
Absolutely.
Without having any of the responsibilities of office. Like, it's a lot better of a situation for him to just critique whoever has replaced, you know, the person who replaces him and cash in on being the former president.
He did that beforehand. He had his blog.
His
favorite day in office was today when he pardoned the turkey. Like, that's what he wanted to do.
He was clearly
like,
very happy. Yeah. Which I get it. I too would like to pardon turkeys all day long.
Sure.
But I
think what's also just, I've said this before on both of our shows, just what this does, what this means, how many people believe that this is a stolen election, what that means for the next 4 years, what that means for the next election, all of that is very terrifying. Anyway, cool.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. Like, it's he's a lazy, pathetic little coward. Like, he wants it, but he doesn't want it enough. And we're lucky for that. And I don't think being cautious about what could have happened was wrong or alarmist, because that's you. If you are alarmed, then you stop the thing from happening, and then it happened, and it's good. It's good that
yeah.
It
and
happen.
He did repeatedly attempt a coup, right? Like
yeah, like he, again, lazily and like not yeah. Not as violently as it could have gone, but he did try because he didn't want to lose. He doesn't want to be a loser.
Yeah, my favorite part of the coup, by the way, is when Trump's lawyers filed an affidavit claiming statistical irregularities that proved election fraud, and it turned out that the irregularities were because they confused Michigan for Minnesota because they thought that the abbreviation MI stood for Minnesota when actually it stands for when Minnesota's is MN and MI is Minnesota. Yeah,
Cody
very
and I
funny.
Both clapped our hands yeah. together in delight. And
that
is
a little bit of prayer,
hands.
a little thankful prayer hands.
Robert, you just said, yeah. you just it's said beautiful. It backwards. All those you just said it backwards. Huh? You said MN is Michigan and then MI. You said it.
Yeah,
backwards.
Sorry. They thought MI was Minnesota and Minnesota is MN, and they thought that yeah. So they confused Minnesota and Michigan.
So many beautiful golden nuggets in all the transcripts of these yeah. These times in court. It's really,
and
really
it's very funny, and thank God they were this bad at it, and thank God nobody who works with Trump, like there was just that thing that came out that Carl's his first name, Bernstein, who was Bernstein, like Woodward's yeah. partner in the Watergate story, came out with it, like he gave a whole list of all the Republican politicians
yeah, he did
who
a
had
listicle.
Confided in him.
yeah.
And it was great, but one of the things I love about it is it shows you the difference between a good journalist who is ethical and a good journalist who is not particularly ethical. Because Bob Woodward is a talented journalist in a lot of mechanical ways who is deeply unethical, yeah. which is why he was willing to not tell everybody that President Trump knew that the yep. coronavirus was more serious than he let on until his book came out.
4 months.
Very unethical, yeah. but also the fact that he was able to get those stories, the way he did his interviews, he knows what he's doing.
So there's pluses and minuses here.
Yeah. Meanwhile, Bernstein is also a very talented journalist who was asked by all of these people who confided in him, don't tell anyone that I've said I hate the president. And then he was like, you don't deserve any privacy. Fuck all of you.
Yeah.
These are the people who secretly told me they hate the president. Which I love for Carl.
Yeah, good for him.
It included Marco Rubio, famous spineless jag.
Oh, God, Blech. The worst. Didn't include Ted Cruz, other Blech. Famous spineless jag.
I guess he's a little too smart for that, or he honestly likes Trump because Ted Cruz loves it when people neg him.
Yeah.
And when Donald Trump...
there's some psychology going on there. You know?
Yeah, imagine how hard Ted Cruz got when Trump accused his dad of helping to kill Kennedy. Mm.
One of his best days. It was like 9/11.
Yeah.
But the other one.
Sophie, hit us with another Q, please.
I'm not sure how to pronounce this
yeah.
person's
another
handle.
Q drop. Give us a Q
yeah,
drop.
Yeah, drop some Qs in here.
Dear God.
I love Q.
Personally. I don't know how to pronounce this person's handle, but it's at @JEHAASE1. And it's a positive question. It says, what is the best case scenario for the Biden presidency that you think is realistic? Awkward.
Defending and expanding Obamacare.
Yeah, the best case scenario would be something with Obamacare that actually increases the number of people mm-hmm. who get meaningful health care. A functional aid package for coronavirus that stops yes. millions yeah. of additional yeah. Americans from winding up on the streets, and climate change legislation yes. that is meaningful enough to buy us time for better climate change legislation.
Mm-hmm. And perhaps something to do with kids in cages at the border.
Yeah.
I would say.
And enough of a reform of the immigration policy
DACA
that
stuff.
At least
yeah. Yeah.
the additional harms of the Trump administration are reversed. If not, things are better than, you know, they were under Obama. And all of this terminating in a situation where the Democrats are able to retain control of the White House and be pushed further left in 2024. Now, do I think that's likely? No, I don't think we'll get all of that.
Kind of depends on Georgia.
Yeah.
Yeah. Some of it depends on Georgia. It also depends on the priorities of the Democratic Party. Like,
yeah.
they have two choices, right? Because incoming administrations have a limited amount of political capital, especially when they don't have full control over, you know, Congress, which they don't have anything close to that over Congress, and they certainly don't have the Supreme Court. So you have limited political capital, And the Democrats have pushed a number of different big things. So obviously one of them is the COVID response. Another of them is meaningful climate change legislation. And another of them is gun control. And knowing the Democratic Party, I would not be surprised if they burned all of their limited political capital trying to push for a big gun control bill and then had nothing left for climate change or coronavirus aid. Because, again, they're very fundamentally out of touch with what are actually, like, the major problems. And whatever you want to say about gun violence in this country, it doesn't rise to the level of, say, both coasts being rendered uninhabitable.
Can I answer this one?
Yes. Yeah.
Sure.
Our education secretary won't be Betsy DeVos.
That is a good
also
thing.
Also true, yeah.
That is
if our education secretary thinks children should be educated. Yeah. No, it's hard to imagine that not being better. That is a very good point, Sophie. No matter what happens with the education secretary, it has to be better than Betsy. Yeah.
It's like that one thing is what has been in my brain.
She is truly awful.
She's a ghoul. I hate everything about her.
The other thing that I think is like that is the degree to which things will definitely get better for people who are at least immigrating in a documented fashion, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know. Like, obviously, the Obama administration was terrible for undocumented people. But in terms of people who, like, refugees, people who do come here and do it sort of the way the government wants you to do it, Trump has made things vastly. I live with a Chinese national who is here as, like, a permanent resident, and her life has gotten massively more difficult for no reason with Trump in office. And that sort of shit won't continue under a Biden. I don't know if he's going to make things better for undocumented migrants, but it will certainly, they will, like, immigration will stop fucking with some of the people who are
here. And more refugees will be able to come here. Absolutely. And in general, I would say that international diplomacy should improve.
100%.
You know, our relationships.
Be hard for
it
to get worse.
It would be hard for it to get worse.
Hard for a lot of things to get worse.
So, guys, these are all bright things to look forward to.
We focus in Twitter and stuff on, like, the.
One more, and then we're going to go to break, too, guys, just so you know.
Can't wait.
I fucking love breaks.
Can't wait.
Speaking of Ted Cruz's dick, sorry.
Give us something easy.
I'm supposed to answer something. We have a fan question, and then I'm going to add a piece to it. This is from @L_NYoung, and they're asking, recovering conservative here with no leftist friends, LOL, any book recommendations? And I want to add that we should have a leftist recommendation, but also, like, something that you're just enjoying that's helpful to you.
Yeah. I'll say Culture Warlords, Talia Lavin's book. We had her on a few weeks ago. I haven't finished it yet, but it's really good. And then something that is not political, that's just for fun, I would highly recommend Circe, something that I read recently. It's Greek mythology, the story of Circe. It's really beautifully done, and it was a real escape for me, which I really needed.
I would recommend, in terms of left-wing theory books, The Ecology of Freedom by Murray Bookchin. One of the things I like about Bookchin and the way he writes about, you know, alternate ways society could be organized is that I think if you're a reasonable person who is reasonably well informed, it's very hard to disagree with him. Not in the way that, like, he convinces you to be a lefty, because honestly, I would recommend, if you're advising, you know, some of your friends who are more conservative to read his work, not even to lead with that. Just say, what, you know, he's an interesting thinker, and the way in which he thinks about dissolving hierarchy and sort of, like, reorganizing social relationships is just very reasonable. It's really hard to argue with shit. It's not like, you know, we should have a Politburo and a Vanguard party in it. No, it's very, very reasonable suggestions for a better way to do things. So I recommend The Ecology of Freedom. And in terms of, you know, something fun to read, I'm a big fan of the Expanse books. I think they're neat as a language nerd. One of the authors, I think, is a linguist, and the things that they do with, like, sort of anticipating how language will change for people who have colonized the solar system from a variety of different like national backgrounds. Like there's a fun, like the way they use language in the book is real fun and continuously interests me. So yeah, those would be my recommendations. Marex.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
I was going to say, marks in the Bible. I think a people's history of the United States by Howard Zinn is actually mm-hmm. good. I think if you're like recovering conservative, I think you'll probably more familiar with like the hyper nationalist sort of American imperialist version of history and our place in the world, and that sort of gives another perspective on it and might open up new ideas for you about America. So I would recommend that. And also read Dune, because the movie's coming out in a month.
Nice.
Check out Dune. Read it, and then watch the other movie and have a good laugh.
If you haven't read The New Jim Crow, do it now. And then for a fun book, The Course of Love, a novel.
Cool.
Okay. Back to where
we're... Is that a romance novel?
It's no, it's not. I wouldn't call it a romance novel, Katie. It's definitely more like a realistic look on what long-term love looks like.
Nice.
Definitely wouldn't call it like a The Notebook at all.
On that note, it's time to pivot to ads. You know.
That was a great pivot to ads.
Thanks. Thanks so much.
You know what else, though?
What?
Advertisements.
Right.
Well,
let's
not go wild.
I'm pretty radical.
Yeah.
Welcome to the worst year ever. We'll get through it together or not. Everything is so dumb.
We're back. And I want to start this next segment of the Q&A with a beautiful quote from our perfect-brained President of the United States that he just said when he pardoned that turkey.
What'd he say?
Thanksgiving is a very special day for turkeys. Not a very good one when you think about it.
Just a beautiful man with a beautiful brain.
Poetry.
It's every and like.
Look, he's not wrong. You can't argue with that.
He's not wrong. He always gets it. He never fails, mm-hmm. except when he lost recently, like a loser. But I love. It's just like every once in a while, it's a reminder. By the way, he's very funny. Mm-hmm. Not on purpose necessarily, but he speaks in a way that no human being has ever spoken before, ever.
And it's remarkable.
He creates these sentences and crafts these beautiful works of art that stick with you. And
if 10 years ago, Cody, when we were fresh-faced young comedy writers at Cracked, we had a writer who writes like the president talks, we would have given him a column, and it would have been the funniest thing
so
ever
good.
Put on the site. Like, it would have been amazing.
I mean, maybe he'll take that column at that website now that he's out of a job.
Yeah. He is looking at it very strongly.
We can get the gang back together and add the president to it.
Yeah.
Trump, you want to put your vlog on our website?
I actually dreamed about the gang last night. We were at the offices, and I don't know, but we had masks on, and then Daniel O'Brien was talking really close without his mask on for some reason.
Because he's the last person who would actually never have his mask on.
Exactly.
He would be incredibly paranoid about it. Yeah.
It's very confusing.
In a good way. That's a compliment to Dan. He's very conscientious
of
other people's health.
Responsible, exactly. Yes. Yeah.
This is a little inside baseball for some of our listeners. Hey, Soph.
Yeah.
Let's get another
another cue drop,
in this
please.
Drop a cue in our a-holes.
Your next question, this is from @gin_on_rocks. When do you guys think people will realize normal as it once was is never coming back? And do you think that people will be less angry, scared when they realize that or more so?
I don't think the people who benefited from normal will ever accept that it's not going back. I think that they will expend increasing resources and they will risk other people's lives to increasing extents in order to recreate the facade of normality as they experienced it. And I think as time goes on, the facade that they recreate will become increasingly ghoulish because, for one thing, they'll forget what normal actually was. And for another thing, recreating a facsimile of normal will become increasingly expensive in human life and in treasure. That is what I think will happen with those people.
Yeah, I think that's a really good answer. I mean, no notes.
Choosing to not add to that because, yeah.
Yeah,
I just think that there's going to be
a rough transit.
There's going to be people that do not accept that. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, they'll cling to it. They've been clinging to it because it was, you know, obviously with coronavirus and climate change and things, that stark difference will become more and more clear. Mm-hmm. But it didn't just happen this year.
Yeah.
And that's what's frustrating.
That things are different.
Like, it's hard because you already, even just with this election, you see people excited about a return to normalcy so horny for
Brunch
this
and
transition
such.
And mm-hmm. just starving for
confidence
brunch.
Is the new cool. Yeah.
So thirsty for mimosas. Yeah. And that's frustrating. It's very difficult. And I think that there's a lot of people, not even just the people that obviously benefit from what quote unquote normal was. I just think people in general miss the ability to turn off and only think about themselves. And I think that a lot of people are really eager for that. And it will be interesting and probably very disappointing to see how many people fall back to that as soon as possible. But I do think there is a percentage of people that will continue to stay engaged more so than pre-2016. I do think so.
What worries me is, like, you know what, the conservatives with kind of the whole fucking Trump thing, you know, they are hearkening back to an imagined past, and aspects of that past were real. There are things, mainly things that have to do with white supremacy, that did exist that don't exist in the same way they once did that, mm-hmm. that people want to bring back. And there's also completely fanciful, imagined aspects of the past that conservatives want to bring back. And I am concerned that we will see that what we're watching right now with this sort of like fetishization of quote unquote competence, which is really a fetishization of people who are friendly and responsible enough in the way they phrase things that people who have it good don't feel like they have to pay attention. That is what's actually happening. Yep. I think that we may be seeing the liberal equivalent of MAGA, which will not be as toxic or as harmful, but will still be toxic and harmful and will be based upon a return to a less imaginary initially, but will become increasingly imaginary as time goes on. Past where things were better. And that past will be the Clinton era and the Obama era kind of mixed together in a melange.
What happened after the Clinton and Obama era? Who was after that? Who came after
horrible?
That?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's not good. Again, I don't think because Democrats are somewhat less aggressively toxic than Republicans, it will not be as toxic as MAGA is. It will not be based as much around causing direct harm to people. But it will be based around not having to think about things. And this is a time, like the situation is serious enough right now with both the plague, but in a greater extent with like the climate and what's happening with it and with the sort of transition of our economy to whatever comes after this period that we've been in for the last, you know, 50, 60 years, that not paying attention to it and letting some nice, well-spoken man who is also a sociopath, but just a more clever one, dictate the future for you is not a good, it's not good. It's not actually responsible, and they're not actually competent. They're just nicer.
There's already
some of them are more competent. Like by definition, the education secretary
would
be more competent.
Yeah, I mean, there's competence and there's like civility and there's all that stuff. And like, again, it's not as toxic. It's not as like directly insidious. But that, even that comparison, I'm already seeing like, pointing out stuff like this, people already getting very upset by like, well, you're just saying Republicans are the same as Democrats. I'm like, yeah, kind of. But also, like, if you're not able to say these things and point them out, then it's not going to get better, actually. It's just going to have a nicer coat of paint on it.
Yeah.
And we need to point out that, like, actually that wood is rotten. You can't just paint over it.
Yeah, I mean, fucking Biden wants to bring Mike Morrell back into the administration, who was one of the fucking CIA dudes under George Bush, who I watched do a Q&A with George Bush once that I can't talk about in more detail for reasons. But, like, that's one of the people fucking Biden wants to bring back. One of the guys who was, like, whole hog into the motherfucking torture program.
Yep, yep.
So, you know...
And if you point that out, actually, it's bad because it's not the time for that, Robert. It's not the time.
Yeah, no, and it won't be the time of 2022, and it won't be the time in 2024. No,
The time, like, the time doesn't exist. The time does not exist for this.
And I'm not trying to. I don't think this is a situation where people should just maintain the same level of like constant terror and outrage that they were at under Trump. But you should still, because you should, for one thing, you should be able to like take a fucking breath because it is. Better that he and his people are not going to be in power anymore. But nothing's fixed. We've gotten a slowdown on the worst things happening. And you do still need to be vigilant, and you do still need, after, you know, taking a break for the sake of the health of your heart, to be outraged. And you do still need to be active in, we need to bully these people.
Yeah,
and we need to beat some of them out of politics with a fucking ivory cane, ethical ivory, ethical, obviously.
Yes, yes,
yes. Yeah, which is the big new supporter of our show, actually.
Synthetic ivory.
Yeah.
Is that a good time to do the dogs. Second ad break?
No, it's
too soon.
We'll talk about our dog ivory business later.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Next question.
That's
cue,
the
please.
Ethical ivory that you're talking about.
Yeah, is dog ivory?
Dog
yes.
bones. Dog bones. Yes.
So,
oh, sorry, I was petting.
You drop
Anderson.
You drop time.
I really hate this. this is a good follow up. This is from at I think it's a Drago 50,000 I'm fucking this up. At Drago 5005. Do you think COVID will have governmental long term impacts such as normalcy of like mail in ballots? Or will people try to forget about it and go back to brunch?
Wait, sorry, could you repeat that, Sophie?
Yes, I can. Do you think COVID will have governmental long-term impacts, such as normalcy of mail-in ballots? Or will people try to forget about it and go back to brunch? I mean, our awful mayor in L.A., possible Biden cabinet pick, true bastard, is leaving in all the vote-by-mail ballot boxes in L.A.,
All mayors are bastards.
Yeah. I think that some things will stick around for sure. I think that there's going to be some cultural shifts that happen as well. I think mail-in ballot expansion will certainly be happening maintain. I don't know about other things. Would say, okay, let's have conversations about healthcare and universal basic income and things like that, but we're not even having them now. So
money out of politics would be nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. The thing of it is, if the Democrats are like, they don't have to even be smart. If they're selfish in a moderately intelligent way, they will put in work to expand the availability of mail-in ballots, to make that a universal thing, and to, like, reinstitute the Voting Rights Act and all that stuff. Like, that doesn't even require them to be good people. It just requires them to be self-interested because it benefits them.
Right.
It benefits mainstream Democrats. So, yeah, I do hope that we get some, like, significant voting reform in a way that improves the ability of people en masse to vote. Like, and if the Democrats don't make a big push for that, they're not just like the kind of dumb I expect from them, but like that's almost like, should you be driving a car? Like, right, if you don't,
it's,
like,
it's,
guys,
it's give up the keys time. Like,
yeah, if you can't get that fucking one.
But I don't want to alarm you, Robert, but I think that might be the case.
Yeah, no, it's entirely possible that's the case. I'm not saying they will. I'm saying if they don't, like, it's one thing if they ignore climate change, because most of them are rich enough to escape its worst effects, and they don't care about people. This actually harms their bottom line. Yeah. Not improving the ability of people to vote hurts them, and they should want to do that.
But also, I mean, then part of it is like they don't necessarily like governing when they have power.
Yeah, no,
what do they do?
It.
They hate it. They're not good at it. We've talked about, like, you know, the idea of having a Republican-controlled Senate. Like, there's their built-in excuse to not actually do anything.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, it's great.
They thrived under Trump because of, like, resistance stuff. So it's
they
not...
They made so much money.
So many followers, money, all that stuff, all that donations. Stuff. But, yeah.
Don't donate more money to them, by the way. Don't do it. They don't need your money.
They don't need your money.
Don't give them
it.
Money.
Don't do it.
They don't need your money.
If you
don't
can find it. A local candidate or even like a congressional candidate who's like really trying to do something cool, you know, that's not a bad person to give money to. But don't give the Democratic Party money.
Nonprofits doing on the ground work.
Yeah.
I think now it really is time to take another break.
Yeah. Check out our new dog ivory business. Ivory. But made of dogs, which is the name of the company. Use promo code I love Ivory.
Anderson's legit growling right now.
I know. No, I know. Anderson does not like that we've gotten into the dog ivory business.
She's not fond of this idea. And she is
Anderson's going to eat. She's going to eat well because of the dog ivory. That's I'm saying.
This is the new normal, folks.
That's what pays the nice food bills, Anderson. That's how you get the good shit.
Welcome to the worst year ever.
With a silly one post break. This is from at Baku Taku, which once again appreciate these handles. Mm-hmm. 1, 2, 3, 4. And they say, silly question, what is one dish you want at a Thanksgiving dinner? What's your dish, guys? Oh. Dish on your dish, Katie.
I don't know. I like the stuffing. I like mashed potatoes. I'm a vegetarian. I like a portobello mushroom, a stuffed portobello mushroom cap.
That sounds good. That actually really sounds good. I'm not like a huge Thanksgiving food guy. I eat it and it's nice. And who doesn't love a lovely time with their family? Some people don't. But stuffing, I guess. I don't know. All of it.
Robert?
It's like Thanksgiving.
Yeah. You know, I don't do Thanksgiving, but I like to every year during like the winter, I like to at least one point pit cook a turkey. So what I do is I get a whole turkey and I marinate it in usually a mix of pickle brine and maybe a little bit of apple vinegar and stuff, some salt, for about 24 hours. And then I take it out and I'll smear the entire outside of the skin in black garlic, which kind of has the texture of butter. And then I'll stuff normal cloves of garlic underneath the skin. And then I'll fill the actual bird itself with usually a mix of duck and a bunch of like crumbled up bits of like thick pretzels, because they get all soft inside there when all of the fat and everything cooks into them. And then I will wrap that in a bunch of foil, several layers, and I will build. So you go outside and you build a fire over a pallet of bricks. And you keep that fire going for an hour or so to heat off the bricks. And then you push the fire off the bricks and you set the turkey on the wrapped turkey on the hot bricks, and you cover it in dirt because you've like dug a bit of a pit. And then you build the fire back up around the turkey in a circle, and you keep it going usually like 8 to 10 hours. And kind of the general way I do it is once the turkey is in the circle fire, I start drinking. And by the time I can no longer walk unaided, it is time to remove the turkey from the fire and eat it.
I think, Robert, you need like a lifestyle blog.
Yeah,
with recipes.
That's my favorite.
Mm-hmm. Guns.
You'll
living off the land.
Yeah, it'll be you and the president will vlog on the
you'll get all sorts of sponsorships.
I think they give them an HGTV show.
Yeah.
That sounds fucking delicious, by the way, what you just described.
It's incredibly
good.
Like, my
God.
It's so fucking... And the beautiful thing about cooking it that way is when you wrap it all up like that, it doesn't dry out. It can't. So you just have this bird cooking with all of its moisture and none of it can escape. And when you open it, number one, you get immediately bombed by the smell of cooking turkey and salt and vinegar and garlic, which is awesome. And it is very soft and juicy and delicious. I love a good pit turkey.
But not for Thanksgiving.
But not for Thanksgiving.
Yeah, just as a winter thing.
Seasonal. It's seasonal. Yeah, it's a holiday.
Yeah, Thanksgiving itself is bullshit. I like turkey.
It always feels bad to celebrate Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
But I like the sentiment of being grateful and spending time with people that you shouldn't spend time with this year.
Food and gratitude is good.
Sharing
Yeah, don't
a
spend
meal.
Time with people.
Or if you do, keep it distant.
Also, free plug for Zoom, which I hate, but they're doing free Zoom on Thanksgiving where you can have more than 40 minutes to video chat your loved ones.
Loved ones on Zoom.
Video chat app.
Buy a taser in case your loved ones get close to you and tase them.
Mm-hmm. That means you really love them.
That means you love them. You only tase the ones you love, exactly. As the police tell me.
Mm-hmm. That's what they say.
All right, next question.
To protect and serve the ones you love by tasing them.
Next question. At James CH1V27. That's such an I don't know what that could mean. Anyone?
Hell of a name, James.
I like it.
VH127.
If you could pick a year from your lifetime that you could classify as the least worst year ever, what would you choose and why?
Oh.
That's a good question.
Something from childhood. maybe my senior year of high school. I was class president. They let me come and go whenever I wanted.
Of course you were, Katie. Mm-hmm. Fuck yeah.
I was student government all 4 years. I was I worked for a local theater company. And so I took like a month off of school. I did distance learning while I did a play. And, you know, my whole life was ahead of me.
Fair enough.
I lived at home. My parents didn't seem to enforce a curfew. They paid for all my food.
Yeah.
I'd just gotten into smoking pot, which, it's young.
Brag.
But I liked it.
That's fine.
It was a good year. Coats. What was happening in the world at large? I can't say. Yeah. I can't say that.
Yeah,
it was.
You were in high school. Yeah, exactly. You know nothing. Yeah.
But for me personally, it was a good year, man.
Codes?
Yeah. I would say around that time, maybe. The first few years I was out here, that when Cracked was sort of bubbling over, that was pretty joyful.
Yeah, we had a good time. Huh?
Also, I would say. One of the some year during college, when I was living with a bunch of friends in a gross house, doing drugs, and I was in a band, and I just played music in a gross house, with drugs and alcohol, pretty carefree time. So that was a lot of fun, I would say.
Yeah, man. For me, it would have to be either like 2008, 2009, when I was doing drugs all of the time, and it was also my brain was new enough to hallucinogens that I couldn't really have bad trips yet. That was a good period because all I remember of it now are the trips. You know, I was working in special ed at the time, which was not a great job, but the drugs were wonderful. 2011 might be my best year. I spent that whole year living out of a car with my girlfriend at the time and her girlfriend, and we traveled up to Canada and all down through the East Coast, up through the Southeast, or up through the Southwest, and we spent like months in Guatemala climbing volcanoes and shit. I had just started working for Cracked full-time, as a full-time contractor. That was a really good period.
It's nice to remember.
Carefree times. Yeah.
Yeah.
I would say 2010.
Yeah, again, horrible things happening to other people, but.
Huh? Oh, sure.
For me,
all the time.
For me, 2010 when the Lakers beat the Celtics in game 7.
Okay.
Nice. I also had my first time where I had my own money, which is
that's a good phase.
You first start to get your own money and you're like,
I'm gonna buy shit.
This is from Giraffes and Guns. How do I get into investigative journalism, specifically if I'm already familiar with the writing process?
I mean, I would recommend that you save up some money and take one of the online courses that Bellingcat does in open source investigation. They're incredibly useful. They will teach you a bunch of cool ways to stalk people online and to stalk corporations and to track down shit. They'll teach you how to do geolocation, which is very satisfying and also extremely useful for investigations. You will learn a lot from that sort of thing. I would also, in general, just start Googling around for different open source tips and tricks and find there's all sorts of websites and blogs that people have put where they like outline how to do different kinds of investigations. Just like if you can dedicate a couple of months to reading up every single thing you can about how people do that different kind of shit, learn how to file FOIA requests too.
Yeah.
And all of that is what I would say you should do. And then just start writing things and pitching them to whoever will take them, or put them up on your own
or
for
do
free
that.
If nobody will take them, and start building up a base of work that's quality.
Eventually you can do a Patreon, yeah. Stuff like that.
This is from at Simple Boatman. Respect.
Our beautiful Simple Boatman.
What's y'all's fave alcoholic beverages?
Okay. Okay.
Whiskey.
Whiskey, sure. I went to Ireland
specific,
and got it.
Cody.
Bushmills. Bushmills Black, personally. My favorite alcohol
Black
beverage
in general, yeah.
It's probably like a tequila soda currently, a vodka or tequila soda. Also, I'm really into ciders.
Yes.
I avoid gluten. Or wheat specifically, not gluten. It's wheat that I have an intolerance to. It's not going to kill me, but I can't really drink beer. I love beer. Gluten-free beer is good, not as good. But ciders have been, or the hard kombuchas. Guys, maybe that's just an LA thing, a coastal elite thing. Hard kombucha. Delicious.
Oh yeah.
High alcohol percentage. Low sugar. Doesn't give me a hangover. And did I mention delicious? All right, I'll stop.
Yeah. I also like a good Moscow Mule, actually.
Yeah.
I think they're, I'm not a vodka guy because, you know, you have those experiences
sure.
at ages and you're like, well, that, never again. No more of this. But that's the one drink of that I like. But yeah, mostly whiskey things.
Robert?
Yeah, I am a, oh, sorry, Sophie, where are you going?
No, I was asking you what yours was.
Oh yeah, I'm a Scotch guy. My favorite's always going to be Scotch, particularly Talisker. Talisker Storm is like my go-to. If I'm just going to buy a bottle of Scotch to have at the house, it's usually going to be Talisker Storm. I like the 10-year too. I like Oban. I like Lagavulin. I like Laphroaig. Yeah, those are kind of my go-to Scotches. I also enjoy bourbon. I got to be in a specific mood for bourbon, but when I'm in the mood for bourbon, I drink a tremendous amount of bourbon. yeah, good. You know, Eagle Rare is a really good one. If you've never had good alcoholic eggnog, buy a bottle of Pennsylvania Dutch. Even if you think you don't like alcoholic eggnog, it's incredible nog. It has, so not only is it like, you know, it's got a good flavor. They use brandy, rum, and blended whiskey in it, and it's wonderful. Pennsylvania Dutch is just A+. Seasonal beverage. So that's my stuff.
Rad. Oh, this is a great question. At DOS Cant 1 with a K. Is the Coffee Mate bottle still on top of the poison room? Is there a realistic possibility of doing regular recordings in studio anytime in the near future? How's Robert's hand? And is there anything he can share about any of his lawsuits he's involved in? Let's start with the basics. There is the Coffee Mate bottle still on top of the poison room.
No one knows.
Yeah.
Is there?
We haven't been back in months.
Yeah.
8 months or something.
My guess is yes, because that's where it belongs. Yeah.
Nobody's been
home.
There to take
that's
it down.
Exactly.
Yeah. Is there a real possibility of doing regular recordings in studio anytime in the near future? Well, LA just got put down on a strict ass lockdown, the strictest lockdown since May. So
doubtful.
And it would be kind of a dick move for me to travel from Oregon to LA and back in the middle of a pandemic also.
It's well you weren't in our regular in studio as far as you're concerned was very similar because you were Skyping in. Recording in the studio as much as I miss it is not realistic anytime in the near future. You know, you just have a bunch of people in a room.
Like a room without any sort of like window, like there's no fresh air. It's a, it's a soundproof room.
Well,
there's
a window. It's not open, but but man, I miss it.
Yeah, I do miss it. I miss throwing things. I miss damaging things.
I miss the snacks.
I miss the snacks.
I miss seeing people.
I'm really regretful that we never got to drink the coffee mate that we had put up on top of the poison room.
I'm not regretful. We're going to.
Fair enough, Robert.
We're going to.
Is that your Jim Jones for us? You're just going to make us all.
Yeah.
I'm not.
Yep. That is our Kool-Aid.
That's our Flavor-Aid.
We have to start a town first.
Yes.
Robert, how's your hand?
Cream town.
Yeah. Cody.
Cream town.
So the second part of that question is specifically for you, Robert. How's your hand?
It's fine.
And is there anything you can share about any of the lawsuits you're involved in?
No comment.
Okay.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah.
Is there any questions you guys want to ask each other? Why don't we end with something like that?
What's up?
You guys have any questions for each other?
What's up? No. How's it going?
That's your question. I love you, Cody.
It's going okay. It's not going bad.
All right.
Yeah.
It's going better.
Yeah.
Good.
Marginally.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah. I'm starting to do things that are like of a hobby nature again.
Oh.
I helped some friends slaughter a sheep this weekend.
Got a
new silencer for a rifle. Gotta go hunting next weekend. So yeah, that's been fun.
A hobby of helping people slaughter animals.
Yeah. They have a farm, and they needed help slaughtering and processing a sheep, and I had not gotten to do that. I helped my uncle process deer when I was a kid, but I hadn't gotten to do help with that, and it was really enlightening and valuable process. I found.
I'm happy for you. I'm not happy for the animal, but I'm happy for you.
Oh.
It lived a good life.
Well, I don't know. I don't know if I have questions for you guys. We talk all the time.
Fair enough. We do talk constantly. What do y'all think about horses?
I think they seem like nice animals.
What we do with the horses, or what we should do with the horses?
Yeah,
I was more questioning about whether or not how we should defend against the horse menace.
Mm-hmm.
I'm more focused on the coming boar menace.
I was going to say we could use the boars to.
We will not be partnering with the boars. Absolutely not. The enemy of my enemy is not my friend. We are not suggesting. Absolutely not.
Look, Cody, I am not. No. I am under no circumstances suggesting that we join forces with the boars. What I am saying is perhaps the boars will take care of the horses and we can keep our hands free.
That just makes the boars more powerful.
But what if there's Lincoln hog-jecked stuff?
All right. We're not doing that.
All right. Okay. Offensive. We didn't need to.
That's exactly right. We need an offensive against both the boars and the horses. This is what we should be dedicating our societal energy towards.
But the boars don't respond. They can't be taken down.
They only respond to violence.
They do respond to violence, but they respond to violence with violence.
If we let them grow in order to take care of the horses, then we will become powerless against them.
I didn't say let them grow.
What we need is a two-front war.
Okay.
Against the horses and the boars.
What we need is more wars.
There are a lot of questions about your guys' pets. Specifically, Katie, people are asking how your boy's doing. How's Benny doing?
People are asking about Benny. Benny's doing much, much better. I guess we're done talking about boars. But Benny,
I was like, I don't like this topic, so we're going to move on.
I don't know if I officially said it on this show. Benny, after much, much expense and heartache and duress, has IBD, which means he cannot eat regular meat, so he has to have this special hydrolyzed food that is broken down and that he can digest.
He is your son.
And he is my son. We are very similar. And it took a while for him to decide he wanted to start eating that food. And I'm not going to share how I made him eat because I think it's embarrassing. It does involve a pet psychic. But I forgot about that. He's eating. He's eating. And I'm not going to question the methods.
Absolutely.
He's gained some weight.
Don't question it, Katie.
His little belly is sturdy. And I got to say, I love to see it. But that's my pet. That's my Benny boy.
Yeah. Robert, your cat. People have many questions. I've seen many questions.
What
I don't know what to say.
What questions do people have about my cat? She's a good cat.
She's a great cat.
She does all the things that cats are supposed to do.
She has she does a fun little tick constantly. She's
She likes to suckle. We got her from a trailer when she was a baby. And she smelled like cigarettes and was covered in fleas. And we got her. She was only like 3 or 4 weeks old when we got her, which is much too young. You are not supposed to separate a kitten from their mom. Yeah. It was not our choice to do that. It was just some rando on Craigslist giving away a kitten. And we realized later, this kitten should not have been separated from its mother. And so she never got weaned. And so anytime she gets relaxed, she starts suckling, which is very cute.
Yeah.
And oddly soothing. And she's also obsessed with water. So she likes it when I turn on the faucet a little bit and she'll sit next to the faucet and she'll stick her tongue out and wiggle it up and down for hours. She's a wonderful cat.
Robert's Cody, like, what about my cat? And then speaks for 5 minutes about his cat. Cody, Maggie, update.
Maggie's doing great. She got her teeth cleaned.
Fantastic.
She's feeling
news.
Good. She's feeling better. She's happy to be walking around, and like always, every single day, she's currently lounging in the window. She found a new spot on the back of the couch.
My sweet
girl.
A pile
of pillows. Found a little sunbeam area, she's enjoying that space. Otto also just having a lovely time together there.
Otto is the kitty.
Otto is the cat.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
That Cody and I found in a car engine years and years ago outside YouTube space. When we all still worked at Cracked.
He was mewing.
Aww. Anderson. Just like, hello.
Good girl.
There were many questions for Anderson, and I'm not going to bore everybody with all that. She's good. She's happy. She's delightful. She's she misses everybody a lot. She misses coming to the office every day. She
misses
seeing all her friends. But she's doing good. Her favorite toy, because there's several questions, she loves her Outward Hound puzzles. If you're looking for something to keep a highly intelligent dog busy that isn't playing, it's playing. I guess it's playing. It's just been really good. It's been really good for her during
this
time.
That's exciting. I'll check that out.
Outward Hound.
Speaking of animals, and then probably wrapping the show up, I just wanted to make a quick recommendation for something you can watch that is a beautiful journey, and it's on Netflix. It's called My Octopus Teacher, and it's pretty astounding. It's a documentary about this filmmaker who was burnt out, and he started like diving and just going. He wanted to commune and connect with nature and refresh, and he befriends an octopus.
Aww.
And I'm not going to say anymore, but it's pretty remarkable.
Octopi are amazing.
Yeah.
Octopus, I mean, they're so smart. I'm a little creeped out and delighted by ocean creatures. You know,
They're aliens. It's an alien world.
They're aliens. It's a whole world. And the sea, the kelp is a forest. And and it's incredible. And this, what's remarkable is how beautifully shot it is. And I don't know how they did it, because I think it's mostly him. Him and maybe like one other person, because you can't like bring a bunch of people in, and he's not even wearing scuba gear. So he just holds his breath for long periods of times and then goes back up to the surface. Mm-hmm. But like just the most incredible footage. I think that this is a really good thing for everybody to watch. That's all.
Thank you, Katie. That was
Thank
lovely.
You. I will.
And does anybody have any final thoughts before we say our,
you know what my final thoughts are? Mine was going to be our Instagram handle. Trip.
All right.
Yeah, I have a podcast about the uprising that happened in Portland this year called Uprising. And it's full of useful tips and tricks for when you have an uprising against the police or whatever in your hometown. So check it out. Take a listen. Take a gander with your earballs.
Do it.
Please.
Also, Horse War Now.
Also, no.
Now.
Okay, follow Katie at Katie Stoll. Follow Cody at Dr. Mr. Cody. Follow Robert at Right Okay. Follow this pod at Worst Your Pod. Thank you for listening. We love you all.
And have a very happy Thursday.
Happy
whether
safe
you're
Thursday.
Celebrating things safely we're not celebrating things even more safely. I'm just assuming you're all doing it safely. And in which case, I say happy to you. Done the good job I did today.
Three, four, happy to all of you too.
Hi, happy.
Everything's so dumb. Everything's so dumb, and it's gonna get dumber.
Great.
I tried.
Yes.
Daniel?
Lovely.
Worst Year Ever is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.